Welcome, as always, to Truth Be Told, a at least once weekly audio teaching ranging from 15 minutes to 60 minutes in length, covering a wide array of topics. And on that note, I would urge you to drop us an email and suggest some topics to discuss. As I've said before, the purpose of this outreach is a simple one: to teach the truth of God's word, to fearlessly preach a crucified Christ, and to challenge ourselves as believers by looking into the word of God, that we might grow, mature, and become the warriors that God expects us all to be. I am Michael Boldea, and today I want to talk about hubris. Now, there is one running theme when it comes to empires. There is one inevitable conclusion that we must come to each time we discuss any of the empires of the past, and that running theme is that empires fall. Only God is eternal. Only God is forever. And try as one might to cling to power and prestige, try as one might to cling to dominance and influence, every empire saw these things slowly but surely slipping away from their grasp. Today, as I said, I want to discuss hubris with you and see how it has contributed to the downfall of empires in the past. Although hubris comes in many forms, it is nothing more than an inward arrogance that is outwardly manifested. We all know the often quoted verse in Proverbs that reaffirms an uncomfortable truth: the fact that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But it's okay. It'll never happen to me. I may be proud, but I have a lot to be proud of. I may possess a haughty spirit, but look at all that I've accomplished. This is the justification and the excuse of some people. Now, we can think this way as individuals, but we can also think this way as a nation. Seeing as a nation is made up of its citizens, the individuals residing therein, when you have an overwhelming majority that see pride as an asset and a virtue, when you have an overwhelming majority that exudes haughtiness on steroids with no reason or merit for their haughtiness, then you can safely make the assumption that it is a national pandemic and not just an individual anomaly. I am a history buff. I've always been a history buff. I've always said, and those close to me already know this, that if I had a choice, I would have been an archaeologist. The connection to the past, imagining who 500 or 1,000 years ago held an arrowhead, a spear, or something as mundane as a horseshoe, is an experience that goes far beyond any words that I can utter. Alas, no archaeology degree for me. I was called into ministry, and until God releases me, here I am, and here I will be. Here I will stand, and here I will fight, and here I will endure. Now, the reason I mention history is because empires of the past and the warning signals that were clear in their decline can teach us much about our current condition and what we can expect in the not-so-distant future. At the height of its power, the Roman Empire spanned over 2.2 million square miles of land. Its influence and control encircled the Mediterranean, covered all of Western Europe, and even half of Britain. At its peak, the Roman Empire was second only to the Persian Empire during the reign of Darius the Great. Some would say that an applicable truism concerning the Roman Empire is that anything that reaches such heights only has a further distance to fall. There are many opinions as to why the Roman Empire fell, some believing it was due to overexpansion, others to monetary troubles, others still to military problems, decadence, and there's even a number who believe the reason for Rome's fall was Christianity. Personally, I believe the fall of Rome, as well as every empire that has come and gone, serving as a cautionary tale for those willing to heed it, was hubris. Simply defined, hubris is arrogance, an overbearing pride or presumption that distorts men's perception of reality. Some have even called hubris the pride that blinds, and I believe it is an apt definition. Most often, hubris is tethered in past glories or past conquests, and is unfounded in its arrogance or presumption. It refuses to see its present reality because it recalls a better time. The golden years, the golden age when milk and honey flowed like rivers, when enemies bowed in trembling fear, and when the mere threat of a threat would make one's enemies cower and bend to your will. As with every empire in decline, those days were long past for Rome. And although it still attempted to impose itself, it still demanded respect, it still presumed that its enemies feared its might, they began to notice an ever-growing boldness from the ranks of those who once feared them, and the once cowering eyes of those who would not dare look upon a Roman now stared back with a mixture of disdain, hatred, and expectation of vengeance. Until the day that Rome fell, there were still those who believed it would never fall. Hubris blinded them to their vulnerabilities. It blinded them to their weaknesses. It made them think that they were great. It made them see themselves as great in their own eyes. And it made them despise anyone who would dare sound the alarm and point out the obvious. Now, the reason I decided to venture into the land of hubris today is because it would seem that, as a nation, we have an aversion towards learning from others' mistakes. Like stubborn children, we want to repeat the experiences of those that came before us because we're unwilling to receive counsel or take advice. As it was in the days of Rome, when the glory and the pomp were but a fleeting memory, today, hubris is compelling us to beat our chests and tell anyone within earshot that we will weather this storm like we weathered the storms of the past because that's what we're made of. We're built tough. We don't back away from challenges. Now, having studied the history of this nation, I can say without equivocation that we were built tough. Yes, there were times, and there was a time when we didn't back away from a challenge. Sadly, that generation is all but gone. And no matter how we would like to make ourselves believe it, let's be honest. Let's be honest with ourselves. We are not that generation. I believe the greatness of the generation that weathered two world wars and a Great Depression, in this nation at least, was rooted in the fact that they knew right from wrong. They knew evil from just. They knew darkness from light. And they would not compromise these things. Yes, there was a time in this nation when simplicity was looked upon as a virtue worthy of emulating rather than despising. When good conduct and moral character was demanded not only of church-going folk, but every one of its citizens. Only hubris can make us believe we have the integrity, the backbone and courage of that generation, blinding us to the reality of what we have become as a nation and as a generation. Like it or not, we are Rome. Not at its peak, but during its descent, wherein everything is relative. If it feels good, by golly, do it. The more of everything, the better. God is an absentee landlord. He's non-existent, and we forge our own destinies. This is the message that we've been promulgating as of late. Providence? What providence? That's just something old fogies believed. We're smarter and more advanced than they were. We have Twitter and Facebook now. Just look at all the archaic stuff they believed in, like hard work and integrity and God and helping your neighbor. What sort of existence would that be? You see, any time a generation or a nation dismisses the reality of God, God has a tendency to show himself. He has a tendency to allow certain things to happen wherein those things in and of themselves say, God is still here. Now, Psalm 33, verses 12 through 19 says something interesting. It says something that we ought to take to heart, and it says something that we should judge this present generation against. The scripture says as follows: Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen as his own inheritance. The Lord looks from heaven, he sees all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. A mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his mercy to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Just consider the words of this passage. Just consider what the Word of God is trying to say. See, a nation whose God is the Lord is a nation that is blessed. When we begin trusting in our horses and our chariots, when we begin trusting in our own strength and our mighty men of valor, we will soon realize that trusting in these things was vain and futile. Because only God, yes, only God, can deliver souls from death and keep individuals alive in famine. And he won't do it for everybody. He will do it for those who fear him and those who hope in his mercy. Pride keeps us from acknowledging that God makes a nation rise and God makes a nation fall. And try as we might on our own without his help and guidance, it is only a matter of time before the inevitable occurs. But no, what? Trust God? Acknowledge God? We distance ourselves from him every chance that we get. We send him away, even help him pack his bags, reassuring him that, well, as soon as we get settled, as soon as we work out some things, we'll invite him over for a visit, maybe even dinner. But now is not a good time. For some reason, now is never a good time for repentance. Now is never a good time for brokenness. Now is never a good time for humility. It's always later. It's always at a future date. It's always at a future time. And so we delay repentance. We delay falling on our faces before God. We delay doing what we know we ought for God to begin blessing us once more. Instead of turning to the one true God, well, we make science our God, because science really requires no submission or obedience and is morally neutral. We walk ourselves into the pit without looking around, without realizing where we're headed, all the while thinking ourselves wise beyond measure and intelligent beyond understanding. We talk ourselves into believing that we're happy as we pop fistfuls of Prozac and Zoloft into our tear-streaked faces. We hoard and amass useless things that, well, we can't afford, only to have them taken away by the repo man. We squirrel away money only to watch as it becomes worthless, as inflation and hyperinflation will kick in and make it worth less than the paper that it's printed on. But it's okay. It's okay. We know better. We're smarter, we're stronger, we're faster. Our spirit of innovation and our drive to succeed will get us out of the hole that we've dug for ourselves. We still have the can-do attitude. And by golly, that, if nothing else, is what will cause the light to shine at the end of this dark tunnel once more. You see, pride, arrogance, an overinflated sense of self, all these things are keeping us from seeing the reality of the situation we presently find ourselves in. Well, just because it happened to other countries, it can't happen here. No, it can't happen to us. Well, why not? That's the question. Why not? Why can't it happen to us? We grow so apathetic. We grow so indifferent towards one another. We are our own gods. We underestimate the tenacity, the determination, and the hatred of our enemies. We look around and think ourselves kings of the world. We think ourselves at the top of the hill. And it is hubris that has done this to us, and hubris will be our undoing. May God cast pride out of our hearts. May God cast hubris out of our hearts. May God cast arrogance out of our hearts, that we may learn to submit, that we may learn to obey, that we may learn to humble ourselves as a nation and repent before a holy and righteous God. Until next time, love the truth, live the truth, speak the truth, and spread the truth. God bless you.